The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Hello, and welcome to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and we have a great guest today. We're going to be talking about bully-proofing your child. Can you bully-proof your child without standing around behind them at all the time? This month has been designated Anti-Bully Month, and in recent years there have been some amazing, horrendous incidents of bullying in the news which have destroyed lives. Why has it become such a problem? Is it getting worse? Or if so, why? What's happening in the mind of the bully? And how can we protect the potential victim? Does the old idea of just hitting back work, or can our child talk a bully out of attack? What should our children watch out for to avoid being a target? My guest, Richard Kohler, has answers which have been tested in the field. Rich is a dynamic presenter who's created and presented award-winning child safety programs worldwide since 1997. Rich Kohler is considered one of the leading experts on child abduction safety and bully avoidance in the state of Connecticut. His unique teaching style is popular among the many public and private organizations to whom he is presented, and he receives glowing reports from parents, teachers, police officers, and child psychologists as well. At 16, a determined but shy Richard Kohler entered his first karate school, searching for some strength, some inner strength. For the next 7 years, he sacrificed much to achieve the coveted black belt rank and then began teaching others. At 27, he became a father to his son. After a near tragic experience, Rich discovered his passion for keeping children safe. He combined fantasy adventure with the most effective teaching methods and his own teaching experience of 12 years to develop the award-winning child safety movie, The Journey of the Steel-Proof Master. Rich also teaches personal security to women and high-risk professionals. He teamed up with a local radio celebrity to create an annual self-defense charity event, which you can go to craigandcofightsback.com to learn about that. And it benefits domestic violence and women's shelters in Connecticut. Rich has expertise in various self-defense systems, and I'm going to mangle the pronunciations here, including Krav Maga, which is Israeli military self-defense, Wing Chun Kung Fu, Muay Thai kickboxing, and American Kempo. So welcome, Rich. I'm really excited to hear your insights today.
Well, thank you for having me, Randy.
Your experience with your son first got you interested in child safety and applying what you were learning from your teaching karate. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Sure, because it's such a powerful factor in my life that really has created what I do now for a living. And basically, when my son was about 2 years old, I had a situation where he was... Basically, I was seeing him every day, and basically he was about to be taking away from me a custodial abduction. And it was quite an experience, and I needed to do what was best for my son. And even though I had a whole bunch of different things going on at the time, you know, your kids are your most important thing. And so I had this situation where his biological mom just didn't have the priorities straight. I thought he was in a very dangerous situation, and at the time I just knew I had to get him, and it came down like right out of a movie where one morning I was tipped off that they were gonna take off with him, and go to Florida, and that was it. And I just, the feeling I got when that happened, when I got that phone call, I had to get my son. And luckily, being a martial arts instructor and teaching a lot of law enforcement, I had some friends I could call on quickly and, all right, what do I do? How do I literally physically get my son? And they told me what I had to do. And like I said, just like right out of a movie, I basically was able to get him, physically get him. And see, you know, his biological mom and myself were not married at the time, and it really came down to possession and things that we don't really know about at the time. And I got him and had a hideout with him and started raising him as a single dad. And that feeling I got that morning of almost losing, you know, to a parent is your most precious thing. I never forgot it. And then, you know, when I talked to my son about it, he's now almost 17 years old, and he said, "Dad, you know, is that why you created your child safety program? Because of me?" And I said, "Yeah, Jess, that's it." And it just, right from there, I created a program and then turned it into a movie, and it won a Silver Telly Award for children's education. It's now worldwide, teaching kids all over the world how to recognize and stay away from child predators.
Wow, what a powerful story, and that domestic abduction is a serious problem nowadays. And it reminds me of the Liam Neeson movies about trying to get back your daughter when she's abducted. And it's just, there's nothing more powerful than fearing for your child and actually having to take possession. So you do feel like your whole karate background was partly to prepare you for that episode. My gosh.
Well, in a way it was. I was fortunate when I started teaching the actual martial arts. When I had with my son, when that first happened, I had just opened my own school probably a year previously, and so it was brand new. And up until then, though, I was teaching in another school, and my original instructor, this man named Greg Silva, he's a pioneer in the martial arts industry, and I was fortunate to learn from him how to teach children. There's so many martial arts schools out there, and there's some great martial artists, but really teaching children how to convey the life skills. Every school says they do it, but how do you do it in a very positive way? How do you do it so it builds their self-esteem? And it's not by accident. It's definitely something you train in and deliberately do. And that really was my foundation on how to deal with children. And when I was younger, even before I had my son, you know, it's, you know, training for yourself and training in martial arts, and it empowered me and it built my confidence. Being a shy person by nature, I guess you would say, it really brought me out. And when I met Greg Silva and he started teaching this method, it's now worldwide how martial arts teach children, and it gave me that foundation, and I just expanded on it. I'm always searching for better ways to convey those messages, those life skills, whether it's focus, respect, and most importantly, self-confidence and building self-esteem. And that was really the foundation for my program. But I took it a step further and what I call theme-based teaching. And I say, well, you know, if you really want to get to children, and this goes for child safety as well as bully-proofing, you know, a lot of adults, they have great information, and parents will say, well, that's great. I want my child to know this. But is the child listening? Is the child retaining it? Do they even want to listen? So you really, by introducing a theme, which I did with my child safety program, I turned into a Harry Potter type of theme. And it taught kids how to recognize these behaviors that child predators have. Well, I've done the same thing with bully-proofing. You know, let's create challenges. So you're challenging the child. Let's give them a mission to take. So they really want to learn it. And then you can really implement a lot of the principles and concepts that they need to know to build themselves up and learn and become powerful inside.
Wow, that makes so much sense. My son learned so much. He studied karate for a number of years and was actually thinking of teaching it at one point in his young life. But what he loved most about it is the self-discipline and the confidence that he learned. He didn't expect to ever, you know, get in a fight, but he knew that he was confident of himself, and his friends were always impressed with how quick his responses were and how sensitive he was to 360, what was going on around him. And it's held him in good stead his entire life. And I don't think, he's only 30 something, but it's been such a powerful influence, and I'm so glad that he took to it. I think he started when he was 6 or 7, and it just meant so much to him, and he's always appreciated that discipline and confidence and the awareness, the serenity with awareness that can be so powerful in these kinds of dangerous situations. So I totally appreciate what you've been doing and focusing on teaching kids. Like you said, you know, they can go to a class about safety and it'll just go in one ear and out the other if they aren't involved and wanting to learn these things. So that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
So there have been some really awful news stories. Do you think that the problem's getting worse, the bullying?
Well, no, I don't know if it's getting worse, but it's one of those old things we learn in the personal development field. You know, what we focus on tends to grow. And when you think about, you know, negative feelings and so forth, you know, if you're always focusing on your negative feelings, well, it seems to grow and you attract more and more of it. And so I don't know if it's getting worse, but I do think that the attention of it can be both good and maybe not so good. Good in the sense that, well, now people are becoming more aware of the situation, of what is happening out there. But at the same time, sometimes when we focus so much on something, it can create more of it. And when I say that, I mean, you know, when you have a lot of these high profile victims, they're seeing what some of these other people, these other victims have done in response to the bullying that has happened to them, and maybe even getting ideas from it of whether it's hurting themselves or what have you, or lashing back at their bullies. So it's one of those things where I'm not so sure it's getting worse, but it's definitely people are more aware that it's going on. And so once again, being aware of it, yes, we can. There's so many organizations out there now that are really trying to help, and they're popping up all over the place and trying to create that better, accepting, respectful environment in the school systems, because it's all over the media. And on the other hand, I'm not so sure some of that type of approach is going to be very beneficial. I'm a big fan, and my views may be different than others, but I'm a big fan about not necessarily bully-proofing someone as much as victim-proofing them. And what I mean by that is a lot of the information that's going on out there right now is about the environment. So in the schools, yes, it's true, and I believe that these bullies need to know that it's not acceptable. Now, realistically, are the teachers really that onto it, though?
Let's talk about that when we get back from the commercial break. This is fascinating.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/voiceamerica or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RANDYROLFE.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back to Family First. My guest today is Richard Kohler, who has created a child safety movie that's seen all around the world, The Journey of the Steel-Proof Master. And he's a well-known teacher on child abduction safety and bully avoidance throughout Connecticut, and does presentations for all kinds of organizations and is very well received because of his focus on the child and making them victim-proof so that they can't be victims rather than just focusing on the bully. So we were just talking about that. And I just want to mention something. We were talking about the trends, more media attention. I remember it was over 25 years ago. I was a young lawyer commuting into Philadelphia, and I was shocked. There were four little boys that were going to their private school commuting on the train, and three of them were just being absolutely vicious to the fourth one. And I thought, if little boys can behave like that, what's the world coming to? So it's not a new issue. I actually considered going across the aisle and saying, you know, you have to quiet down. This is inappropriate. But they did start to quiet down, and the conductor walked by, and things got a little better. But it was truly awful to see the little boy being victimized verbally. So you were saying, Rich, that you focus on helping the child not be a victim and gaining the confidence that he or she needs to minimize the possibility of becoming a victim. So can you explain that a little bit more, how you do that?
Sure. Well, when it comes to the bullying with the child, you know, I tend to look at it both as an internal as well as an external factors. So basically, yeah, the internal is all about the child inside. What is the child like? What is the personality? What are the strengths? What are the weaknesses? So basically, what's going on inside that child? Now, at the same time, you have external factors. What's going on the outside? What does the child look like? How does the child act? What kind of environment is the child in? Because when it comes to bullying, the first step is targeting. So when we're teaching bully-proofing to children, the first thing they need to realize is the best thing is not to even be a target. And if you are a target, it doesn't mean you have to become a victim. And that's really important for them to understand. So if a bully does approach them, because they're more or less interviewing them is what I call it. They're interviewing them. And that's what the bullies do. They can almost smell it. They go around and they're looking for potential targets that will become victims. So when I'm teaching parents and children, the first step is a lot of times I'll talk about the external because it's about the easiest sometimes to take care of. So how does your child talk? How does your child present themselves as far as body language? What does your child look like? If the child wants to be unique and wear unique clothes or have a unique haircut, well, you know, that definitely could be a factor towards becoming the target. If the child is strong on the inside, it's not a problem. And it shouldn't be a problem. But we're talking the way it is. This is just the way it is. Unfortunately, children that have physical challenges and so forth, they tend to be targeted because to a bully, and no different than when I'm teaching, I teach a lot of law enforcement and military, and, you know, we're teaching them physical, personal security. And, we say there's an old saying, why do people attack other people, or why do bullies attack certain kids? And really the answer is because they think they can. So if you take that statement and say, well, how can you take your child and so that your child presents themselves both physically and internally so that the bully doesn't think they can. A bully doesn't go up to a child and say, wow, this child's going to stick up for himself. I think I'll bully this child. They go up to a child because they think they can. They think they're going to get the proper reaction that they're looking for. So this is what I look for whenever I'm interviewing a new child into one of my programs or if I'm consulting with a parent. We have to look at both the internal and external factors. So once you figure out, okay, well, let's go over what the external thing is. You know, if, you know, what you're wearing, what you look like, how you talk, how you present yourself, we'll take care of that first. Well, chances are, if we really focus on that, a lot of times you're targeted. Now, let's say you do become a target. Well, then we really have to focus on the internal factors. What is going on in the child's head? You know, what type of confidence do they have? How high is their self-esteem? And then, of course, there's many different ways we can strengthen the confidence and build the self-esteem. And that's really, really important because you could have a bully approach two different children the same exact way, and, you know, a lot of times these children will react differently. So we need to educate the child, empower the child, and tell them and let them really feel through many different methods that, you know what, you have a choice. You can let them bully you and become that victim, or you can turn the role and say, bully, listen, you made a mistake by choosing me to be a target. Now go, you know, go away, more or less. And there's different strategies of doing that. But when you empower the child and say, hey, wait, I do have a choice. I don't have to be a victim. That is a big, big turning point in the child. So that's what I mean by victim-proofing. So, and then, of course, there's many different strategies to do that.
Yeah, that's very powerful, and I think that in all of society today, people forget that they have choices in even in the most frightening moments. There's always choices. And you mentioned that you work with parents to help build their children's external presentation and also the internal. And what do you say to a dad comes and says, hey, you know, I was taught just to hit them back. How do you get around that kind of response?
Right, that, and that's probably one of the most popular responses that we deal with. And there's a couple things. And really, when it comes to that, you know, it's old-fashioned, like you had stated. It's an old-fashioned way. Well, if they hit you, hit them back. I think what's going on in the parent's head when they say that is, well, let them feel what they're doing to you. Let them feel it back, and then they're more apt to respect you and, hey, this person's gonna, you know, fight back. But it's just the wrong thing to do. And the reason why I can really get that out to people, both the children and the parents, is the fact that having such a background in personal security and the fact that I do train military and SWAT and all of these people that are perceived to be, you know, really tough people, I tell them that's not the way to go. You know, when you tell your child to hit back, what you're really saying is, you know, meet it with violence. Deal with it with violence. And there's a problem with that. On the other hand, I'm a huge supporter of, I believe that a good martial arts program is so powerful for all kids. Now, I know not all kids will like it, but I think it has everything the child needs. And I'm talking about a good program. It has everything a child needs to build that internal strength so that they don't even become a target to begin with. And what I mean by that, and this can be done not just at a martial arts school, but anywhere. And most importantly, it should be done at home. You know, too many times parents rely on the schools and the bus drivers and everybody else to keep their child safe. And the problem with that, it's just so unrealistic. Bullies don't do it in front of teachers. They do it where there is no teachers, you know? It's just right. Unrealistic. It starts at home because how a child reacts, whether they are the bully or they're the target or possibly a victim, a lot of it happens because of the way their environment is where they are most of the time, and most of the time that's at home. So in other words, if you get a child that's bullying a lot, well, it's probably a learned behavior. Whether they were bullied themselves by siblings or in the neighborhood or even by their parents. Well, they say, well, this is the way that I'm supposed to deal with conflict. So, you know, it's hard for a parent. It's like when a parent goes up to their child and says, you know, don't you scream at me. And then you look at it, well, aren't you screaming at your child? What do you think they're going to learn? So when the child's being bullied at home, they say, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is how I deal with conflict. This is how I get what I want. I'm going to do it there. So that's one factor. And then, of course, a lot of bullies were victims. So it's unfortunately one of those pecking orders where, you know, the bullied person now becomes a bully. And once again, it tends to be a learned behavior. And it's really just a Band-Aid. How can I dominate somebody else, control somebody else's feelings, or maybe physically, so that I feel a little bit more superior? And that's what's going on in their head. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. That and studies have shown that most bullies are being bullied somewhere in their lives, often at home. And I couldn't agree with you more that it's really up to the parents in the first place to create options that children have when there's a conflict that are not just violence. And
it's not just that on the bullying side. It's also the way that the parents are bringing up their children as far as teaching them respect, teaching them acceptance, teaching them the internal factors of, you know, listen, we don't treat people this way. And at the same time, are the children being brought up where their self-esteem is being built? If they're always told, you know, don't do that, that's wrong, don't do this, well, they're going to have a low self-esteem, which obviously leaves them open as a target. So it works both ways. It's really important where this child's environment is, that they are built up to have a strong moral code, that they understand acceptance for others, they respect others, and it, once again, it really starts with whoever they're around the most, and most of the time that is parents. Unfortunately, what happens is, you know, parents, they love their children to death, and this is something I always have to tell when I'm consulting parents. I say, listen, when we talk about whether your child's the bully or your child is the target or maybe even a victim, this has nothing to do with love. Well, I'm not judging you on how much you love your child. Parenting, a lot of times, has nothing to do with the love factor. And what I mean by that is you can love your child to death, but it doesn't mean you're using the best parenting strategy with that child. And that means how you're building that child's self-esteem, how you discipline versus punish, many different strategies for parenting. And that's what's going to build up in that child. So when that child goes out into the real world, which could be kindergarten, could be even preschool, they have these learned behaviors, and they're going to interact with children the same way they were interacting with their parents and their brothers and sisters, and how the parents taught them to deal with conflict. They're going to do the same thing when they're with these other kids. And then, of course, as they get a little bit older, and then we know with bullying, it really, I guess you would say, climaxes at adolescence around 6th, 7th, 8th grade.
Well, let's come back and talk about the adolescence after the commercial break.
Sure.
Thank you so much. This is great information.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iRadioBlog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RANDYROLFE.com. Your family will thank you.
The Total Education Network is the only network that airs shows 7 days a week on various stations. Please go to our website, www.totaltutor.org, for more information about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the Total Education Experience, We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide educational news and tips for parents. The Total Education Network, the talk shop for parents, teachers, and administrators. That's www.totaltutor.org.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back to Family First, and we're speaking with Rich Kohler, who is a recognized expert on child abduction safety and bully avoidance. He's created a wonderful movie that's seen around the world, The Journey of the Steel-Proof Master, and he has an annual defense charity event, Craig and Company Fights Back. Craig and Co. fightsback.com. And we're talking about how important it is to at home as well as in school and elsewhere, where parents can really support kids in feeling confident and knowing how to respect others and communicate well and get verbal and nonverbal cues from the people they're dealing with. And you were just saying, Rich, that these issues continue into adolescence. So can you expand some more on that?
Sure, sure. I think one of the misconceptions about bullying behavior is I think a lot of people look at the bully individual as, you know, a bad person because of what they're doing and treating people the way they're treating them. And we do know, and we haven't discussed this yet, there are so many different types of bullying as far as physical versus verbal. And then, of course, the alienation, the social aspect of it, which can be one of the most traumatic forms of bullying. But what a lot of people don't realize is as the kids get older and they start going into 6th, 7th, 8th grade, what happens is they're having that natural adolescent behavior where they're starting to go between their being free and independent and being all the time with their family. And that creates a lot of situations as well. Bullying is just one form of what we call social cruelty. And social cruelty could include many different things, including teasing and starting rumors and stuff like that. But it's a part of being a child. It's a part of growing up. So they're pulling away from their parents, but yet they're not adults yet. So they're kind of in that vacuum. And what happens there, though, is it's a very insecure place to be. Once again, not necessarily thinking they can go just and go and ask mom and dad for help. And at the same time, you know, they're not old and mature enough to figure it out themselves. And what happens is they get caught up in a lot of the school popularity contests, the cliques. And I'm sure a lot of parents listening can understand this is where a lot of stuff starts happening. There's so much influence from their peers. They want to be accepted. Once again, not having that, or what they believe, not to have that support like they did when they were younger. So parents have to understand that at that point, it's a very, very, important part of their life that parents have to stay involved because the children naturally want to pull away. No, I don't want to go with you guys out to dinner. I want to go with my friends. I want to go to the movies. And we as parents are going, well, you know, that's not my little Johnny anymore. He's pulling away from me. Well, parents have to make sure that their child maintains more than just a school type of lifestyle. And what I mean by that is, a lot of the bullying is going to be happening from school-related events because that's where they spend most of their time. So whether it's in school or it's in school sports or school activities, if a child starts becoming a target for bullying behavior at school, in other words, getting bullied, and they are about or possibly become a victim, it's so powerful, it's so traumatic to this child because to them now they have nothing. because they pulled away from mom and dad, and now their school, they thought they were their friends, they're being mean to them, because as a natural part of growing up, we all want to feel popular, we all want to feel important. And unfortunately, this is where two friends that were best friends their whole life, all of a sudden one dumps the other one, because now it's not cool to hang out with that kid. And it really does take a strong child to resist that type of behavior. So as a parent, you tried your best, you did your best to build your child up to understand, you know, to feel good about themselves. Well, you have to maintain that. And how do you do that? Well, what I suggest is that you make sure your child at that age is still involved with other things outside of the school. As many activities as possible that they can be involved in where they're going to have friends from other activities. So in other words, if school goes bad because all of a sudden they got, you know, somebody called them a name and now the whole school's calling them a name, at least when they go to this other activity, they still have friends. And when they go to this other activity, they still have friends. So parents really have to stay involved and not let the child push away. Insist on them being part of the family still. Insist on them, going on family-related events. Insist on them maintaining a circle of friends outside of school. The more the better. In fact, it's also very powerful for children to have older role models that are outside of the family, because they may be the people that these kids go to when they have and when they're dealing with these situations at school. So once again, don't let your child just pull away and then hope everything is good at school, because if for some reason something happens at school and they become a target. And it's what I call three phases, and this is another way of looking at bullying. And what I mean by that is the first phase is your child being targeted. So in other words, whether it's an external or internal factor, which we talked about previously, if your child is targeted, that's the first step. Well, if that's as far as it's gone, we can deal with that. We can build that child up. We can change some of maybe the way they act. We can get them acting more confidently and talking more confidently, and maybe it won't go any further. The second phase is when that bully that targeted the child now starts really getting into the verbal aspect. In other words, calling them names, maybe even giving them a name. And now your child's like, wow, this is, you know, this person's, you know, call me names and treat me badly. I mean, that's a bad place to be. It gets even worse on the third phase, is that whole pack mentality. And I've seen it. I remember when I was a child, and it happens all the time. Even kids in the school that barely even knew this child, for some reason, that pack mentality, once that child is, pigeonholed, I guess you would say, now the whole school is calling them the same name. Because it just, no one ever stopped it. So it can start as being a target, then a victim, and then possibly even where the whole pack mentality, where this child now feels the whole school is against them. So that's how traumatic it can get. So make sure your child is involved with other things that are very structured, that promote an accepting and respectful environment. Once again, going back to a good, and I hate to keep pushing martial arts, and I'm just saying, there's other activities that promote that as well. Because where the child spends their time is where they're going to really, really learn how to act and interact with their peers. And that's the issue that's happening with all these programs in the schools. Do they really work? What's happening is these schools are trying to do their best, at least most of them are, to try to create that environment of respect and acceptance. Well, they're trying to fix something where, you know, for the most part, the kids that are doing most of the bullying aren't even listening. Because they are using their bullying behavior as a band-aid because they feel hurt or they're insecure or whatever reason that they are doing their bullying, it's hard for them to just stop because the school says, don't bully, don't, you know, it's a very difficult thing. And then I know we'll get into that later as far as bystanders and how important those, you know, those people are. So it's really important that this child has a well-rounded lifestyle and it's not all thrown into the school where something goes bad, so to speak, they feel they have nothing else.
That's a very, very powerful and great advice, that the school should not be the child's whole life, because things can get bad, especially when there's a pack reaction to bullies, name calling or whatever it may be. And also, what you said about the bullying being a band-aid for how the bully actually feels. So if you're telling people not to bully, I'm always an advocate of you have to find something to replace it. And if a bully's feeling better because he's bullying people or she's bullying people, then there has to be some other thing that will replace that need in order for that behavior to stop. And just to say no more bullying, I mean, it's like saying no more screaming. If the person doesn't have any other way to get across their idea but screaming, they're going to keep screaming. So that's so important to be able to build the self-esteem of both sides of the bullying experience, and having a well-rounded life, it makes so much sense. And I wanted to ask about, most people think in terms of the bully, okay, when you are targeted, what different approaches can a child, if they're in the moment? I'm a big advocate of prevention, like you are, but parents are concerned if the child's in the moment, can they just walk away, or can they say something magical that will stop it? What do you suggest as those, immediate in the moment prevention tactics?
Right, and there's so many variables, but that really is where it comes down to it. And what parents are wondering, well, what does my child do then? Well, obviously, prevention is key. But let's say the child is targeted for whatever reason. It's really important it doesn't get to that second and third phase that I just discussed. And so basically, and really why I started my website, stickupforyourself.com. I mean, it doesn't get any easier than that. I really believe that everybody, and we're talking about children right now, but I'm sure you realize that little bullies grow up to be big bullies, and the corporate world is full of it as well. I consult adults about this. You have to stick up for yourself, one way or the other. Now, when people say stick up for yourself, what are they talking about? Verbal, physical? Well, obviously, it could be any of those. But the problem with not sticking up for yourself is, and it is such a problem, because it really, really can affect the self-esteem of the person. So in other words, if a child is targeted, so in other words, for some reason this bully thinks that they can bully this child because they interviewed this child. In other words, from somehow, some way, this bully says, oh, there's a good candidate. But they don't know for sure, so it's really crucial what the child does at this point to change that bully's mind. And basically, it's going to be the way they stick up for themselves verbally, their body language, confident. We know through physiology that when we stand tall and confident, we feel tall and confident. And in fact, I even get as deep in my programs as far as introducing some NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and little tricks on the mind to really get to the reality and not what appears to be a very scary situation. It doesn't have to be. Sometimes it's just all in our head. But we need to stick up for ourselves. If the child doesn't say, hey, listen, you know what? What you're doing is not cool. And we have some really cool tricks for this, too. But what you're doing is not cool, Just go leave me alone. And then
that's
let
so
it go,
cool.
Walk away. But you really want to walk away. Give the bully the ego. I would walk away. I'm not going to sit there and engage.
Let's come back to that after the commercial break.
Sure.
Rich, sorry to interrupt. But we're going to talk more about sticking up for yourself and then what onlookers should do.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at totaltutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at totaltutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, totaltutor.org.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Rich Kohler, and he's sharing some wonderful insights. He's done a lot of research into the psychology behind bullying, and he's a well-known expert on dealing with keeping children from becoming targets, from being victimized, and helping parents know how to build the kind of inner strength and the external look that will discourage bullies from attacking. So, you were talking, Rich, before the break about the specific situation where the child has been targeted and is being attacked by a bully. What are a couple of suggestions that can help the child walk away and feel good about themselves?
Right. Well, really, the number one thing is the child needs to feel that they stuck up for themselves. If they walk away without saying anything, then they're just going to feel ashamed. They're going to feel that they're weak. They're going to feel, and those are the things we don't want going on inside your child. So how do they stick up for themselves? Well, really, you want to make it a real, boring experience for the bully. If the bully gets the reaction of crying, of screaming, of anything like that, that's what the bully wanted because that shows control. So really, you want to stand up to the bully. Basically, you know, listen, I don't, you know, why don't you just leave me alone? Go pick on someone else. Now, and walk away. They can't bully you if you're not there. You don't stand there, let them have their say, but at least you stuck up for yourself. A trick that I do is I like to pull in the people around. Because many times the bully performs for an audience. That's what gives them a lot of their satisfaction. Not all the times, but a lot of times. So I like to pull in the bystanders. See, bystanders, they're reluctant to jump in many times because nobody wants to jump on a sinking ship, so to speak. It's just psychology. So in other words, if this child's not going to stick up for themselves, why should I stick up for them? You know, and then possibly be beat up or bullied myself. But when the child starts sticking up for himself, hey, leave me alone. Why don't you go pick on someone else? A lot of times that will be that little kick that those other bystanders, hey, yeah, why don't you just leave him alone? If I was the child being targeted, I might even go as far as saying, hey, listen, you treat me like this, you know, you're not going to have any friends. All these people aren't going to be your friend either. So now you're pulling in all the people around you, too, because inside, all those bystanders are saying to themselves, that could be me right there. That's why they don't want to get involved. So you can really pull them in and make it so that the bully's like, hey, wait a second, I'm not going to have any friends. Bullies aren't as popular as people might think they are. You know, they're cool, they're tough, but people know, even the bystanders, they know that they might not want to get involved, but at the same time, they don't necessarily want to hang out with this person either because they know they could be one of them. So it's really about having that strong voice, a good confident body posture, and you can basically tell them, you know, just leave me alone. You know, a lot of people say, well, use I. I don't like it when you do that. I don't, my opinion, I'm not a huge fan of that, because now you're telling the bully you're upset. The last thing you want to tell a bully, because now, hey, perfect candidate. You know, screaming at the bully. The bully, two things can happen. The bully can say, oh, did I make you upset, and start really instigating it even further, or you could escalate it. Just like when you ask me, you know, should you hit the bully back? I have that a lot of times. Now, you hit that bully back, you now have escalated to a violent situation. If that happens, now, yes, maybe the bully leaves your child alone, or maybe the bully brings a weapon to school, or maybe the bully brings three of his friends next. Do you really want to be responsible for that? So what do? You know, you got to stick up for yourself. Now, I believe, and once again, this might be the bully-proof rebel in me, but I believe every child needs to feel that they can escape a physical situation. See, when I tell people, I teach kids how to fight so they never have to. In other words, I don't teach kids to use violence to hurt a bully. I teach kids how to protect themselves and escape a situation. Not stand there and fight, but escape. How can you expect your child to stick up for themselves verbally if they're afraid the bully is going to punch them if they do it? But if your child knows they can escape that physical situation, because we do not teach children to hurt other people. We teach children to use their skills if they have to escape a physical dangerous situation. And I don't see anything wrong with that. And anyone that doesn't say, oh, they shouldn't do that, well, then they're not in reality, because if you deal with, and like myself, I deal with so many law enforcement, I know what the streets are like, I know what the violence is like out there, and that's reality. And I tell parents, I say, listen, sometimes these kids, when they go onto a playground, that's like you and I walking into a biker bar. As long as you don't look at someone the wrong way, as long as you don't say the wrong thing, you might be okay. But don't think a playground is so nice sometimes. And maybe, you know, you got to get into perspective of your child. How do they look at it? And that's why they can get so, they can make themselves sick over going to school because of the fear and so forth. So stick up for yourself. You always want to do it verbally. Yes, do I believe a child should know physically how to escape? Absolutely, because that's what they're going to need. Easy for you to say, Dad, you know, tell them to leave me alone. Then the bully pushes me and says, what are you going to do about it? That's reality. Now, that's only the physical aspect. There's a lot of different kinds of bullying, the alienation, being left out, the verbal, and that all goes back to the internal factors where we need to build our kids up so that they know they're good at things, they know their self-worth, we teach them positive self-talk, you know, get rid of that negative talk. You are an important, valuable person, and you got to know that, and nobody has the right to treat you that way, and that's what you got to get into that child, because it all starts from the inside. The inside power will always be greater than the outside power.
That's so powerful to I love the idea of being boring for the bully. They just don't get the reaction that they want. And obviously it takes real,
you win. Exactly.
Yeah, it takes real internal strength to be able to maintain composure when someone is picking at you and provoking and trying to make you feel weak and hurt, and maintaining that composure and just saying, you know, come off it, and engaging the onlookers in a way that you become the David against the Goliath, and they start rooting for you. That's really critical. Now, we're coming up towards the end of the show, so I want to make sure people know how to get in contact with you. You teach adults and women particularly, and high-risk personnel, professionals all over the country. So if someone wants to get in touch with you, engage you for a presentation, where do they go, Rich?
Well, they can reach me through my website at stickupforyourself.com, and all my contact information is on there. And I also do have a really, really good bully-proof report that I created for the back-to-school season. It's at missionbullyproof.com. And we're actually coming out with an internet web-based video game that will go with my program, Mission Bullyproof.
Oh, that sounds great.
So there is a free report available at missionbullyproof.com. And it's got a lot of the things we talked about and much more.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I really appreciate this. There have been great insights for parents, and I do recommend the martial arts, and it's not a mistake that they're called self-defense, because it's not about being able to knock people down. It's about having the composure and self-confidence to, like you say, escape violence.
Exactly. Parents have to realize it's not about hurting people. It's about being able to escape, which therefore gives me the strength to stick up for myself.
Yeah, I think of the movie The Karate Kid, where the child eventually ends up fighting the guy, and he actually loses the fight, but he wins the audience and the other students because he has the inner strength and composure not to hit low like the bad guy.
And I think even more powerful than that is the difference between the Karate Kid's instructor, Jackie Chan, versus the bad instructor. The other kids realize, hey, listen, that's the way to go. You know, be nice, be respectful. That's the way to go.
Yeah, that's the best part, when the students choose his teacher. That's
exactly. Role models are so powerful.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for all you've shared, and good luck with your work. This is very important.
Well, thank you, Randy, for helping us get all this out there, because we definitely need to do that.
Great, great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.